You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol. We'll kick things off in the Premier League. And what a match it turned out to be between Brighton and Manchester City. End to end for pretty much 90 minutes. Thoroughly entertaining. It'll be Phil Foden who'd open the scoring for Guardiola's side in the 25th minute. And then an incredible strike from Enciso would see Brighton equalise just before the break. That guarantees then Brighton a place in the Europa League next season as they sit sixth. They can't be caught now by Aston Villa. For more on this, let's welcome in Kieran Gibbs to the show. Kieran, how good was this game? It was brilliant.
Oh, what a game. What a game. But it was all about Brighton tonight for me. The performance typified Brighton's season. European football, thoroughly deserved. And it's just it's a great football story. You know, when you think about where they've come from, it's pretty remarkable, really. I mean, losing the manager and the players that they have this season, and you know, you would have thought that they would have struggled, but the way they adapt and deal with things that are thrown at them, it's as though it makes them stronger. And you know, these are the results when you have a pretty much a faultlessly run club. They'll probably lose a few players next season, but I think if the recruitment stays how it's been the last few years, they won't be worried at all. They've probably already been planning for it, but no, they've been a joy to watch all season.
How open was this game, Stevie?
Mental. There was no midfield play.
Right.
It was basically one team goes forward, and if they lose the ball, the other team's right. The plan is get at them as quick as you can.
Yeah.
So the thing just went back and forward. How it was only 1-1 is beyond me. Both sides could have had three or four goals. But as a spectacle in a game, as to watch and sit watch a game, I don't think there's been a better game to sit and watch all season, quite honestly.
That's a bit of a stretch.
From the first minute to the last minute
right,
of this
okay.
game.
All right, yeah.
Absolutely 100%.
Right.
Try and pick up.
It was a great game. Great
tell
game.
Me a game yeah. That has not been as enjoyable.
He's just trying to wind you up, Stevie. He's just trying to wind you up.
No, sometimes he actually believes what he says.
Is it? You think?
He does.
Real Madrid against Liverpool was similar in the Champions League.
Not from the first minute to the last minute.
Well, what's first minute? You were great for 20 no. minutes. You fell asleep, lost all those goals, out.
Well, not for 70 minutes.
Let's talk about what City should do, Stevie, now. Obviously, they've got one game remaining in the Premier League. That's Brentford on the final day. And then it's the FA Cup and Champions League.
Right.
Seven starters. I think when you take a look at the starting 11 from City today, you can say seven of them will be guaranteed to start in the FA Cup.
Right.
How do you handle their fitness, their mentality, their everything over these next few days?
Well, the first two things you asked me was the fitness and the mentality.
Yeah.
I would suggest that the fitness, absolutely 100%, would be the go-to. Once he assesses and once he gets the information from all his staff where everybody is physically, then you pick a side from there. As far as the mentality, the only thing we do know is this whole City team, coaching staff, backroom staff, the whole place has got the most incredible mentality. You don't get to three major finals in one season unless you are focused on the job in hand. So the mentality doesn't come into it. Absolutely, it's about the physical state of the players. And then once he figures that out, then he does what he's done all season, in my opinion. When he can, he plays some of the younger guys, which I expect him to do in this next Premier League game, and then get some of the guys on that he's going to play. Because I think it's more important for players to play some time in a game
right.
for half an hour, 25 minutes,
yeah.
20 minutes, as opposed to not playing at all and just training. Because training's okay, it kind of keeps you ticking over. But I think to get the heart going, get the blood flowing, do what you do best and get some time on the field is best for everybody. So it'll be a little mixture. No question, he'll start a lot of the younger guys.
Right.
But then by the end of the game, I'm assuming or expecting that everybody who probably will start in a cup final, will get some time.
Kieran, 10 days to go till that cup final. Do you want to play this weekend?
Do I want to play? Yeah, I do. I would want to play. I just feel like Stevie's right. You want to keep the rhythm. You know, you can play a bit more relaxed because you know you've won the league. The only thing that Pep would probably be worried about is injuries. You know, it only takes something really silly just to completely ruin what's been such a great season so far. So I think he'll probably have, you know, a slight eye on that. I think Stevie's right. I think if you at least get some minutes for most of the players that are going to play in the finals, I think that he'll be happy with that.
Of course, Manchester City champions, Kieran. I don't know if you noticed that. Arsenal finishing second. A lot of rhetoric, a lot of narrative around Arsenal and their performance over the last couple of months. So I'll ask the question a lot of people are accusing Arsenal of. Do you think they choked? Do you think they bottled it?
Dan, how many times are you going to ask me this? you know what I think about this.
I can't remember, Kieran. You know, I've done a lot. I'm busy. I'm a busy man. I speak to a lot of people.
They run out of gas. But I said, you know, if a lot of these results, if they had have happened over the season, that we wouldn't be having the same reaction. So it just shows that they're close. And I think with a summer with a few hundred million in the bank and invested into the team, that final stretch will make the difference. So in the long run, I'm not worried at all.
When you're on next, Kieran, I'll ask you again. that'll be it. We saw Saka sign a new contract today, of course, a major part of Arsenal's success this season. So let me ask you this, Kieran. If we're playing a pickup game and you've got a whole Arsenal squad to choose from, who's your first pick?
Ødegaard first. And then Saka. Ødegaard first and then Saka. Yeah, but I mean, listen, it's brilliant news for the club with Saka. I was never in doubt that he was, I don't think anyone was in doubt that he was going to sign. He's an Arsenal boy. Everyone knows how much he loves the club. He's been the best and most consistent player over the last few years. He's a true gem. He really is. Incredible numbers for his age. You could tell he was a good player when he first came in, but to see him take his game to another level year after year and, you know, kind of witness him go from that boy to a man, to a young man, it's what you see of the true Premier League greats. So I think that's what we have on our hands here. And you know, if he stays injury free, there's no telling what he can do for the club. I'm a bit worried just from the sheer like load that he was putting in from such a young age. But he's physically, he's proven that he can cope with the demands at the highest level. He's been key in getting the club back to where it belongs after 6-7 years. Now I think he does need competition now, though, you know, back playing in the Champions League. Arsenal just can't rely on him every 3 days. He's going to be playing for England as well. You know, he might get away with it for the first half of the season, but it's just in that final stretch, you know, like we've seen with the club this season, fatigue can kick in. But yeah, I mean, listen, brilliant news for the club. He's so young. He's got years ahead of him.
He's great, but not as good as Odegaard. That's where we're going, Kieran, yeah?
Yeah.
That's it. Who are you picking in my pickup game?
I tell you, I'm surprised about that. That's a lot of mileage for a 21-year-old. That's between 150.
All the matches he's playing.
That's between 150 and 200 appearances, and he's only 21. Mm. That's a lot. That kind of explains why recently he's been a little... I know as good as he's been, it's hard to keep that level up from start to finish, but he has, no question, had a little drop-off recently. But looking at those numbers tells you why. And that tells you also why Arsenal have to strengthen the squad. Not just the starting 11, but the squad, because Arteta is going to have to be in a position where he can do what his old boss Pep does at Manchester City and give people a rest. Like, like Saka, because if he's continuing to do to rack up those numbers every year, then don't be surprised if he does run out of steam every at the end of every season.
What about my question?
I would probably go Saka.
Would you?
Yeah. I think they can win games with somebody else in that position with Odegaard. I don't think they'll win as many games if Saka's not playing.
Xhaka, you have the deciding vote.
Ramsdale.
Yeah, I knew you were going to be in here.
I knew you were going to do that.
That silly question.
Yeah, I know. of course, we know that that Arsenal love picking up City rejects, Kieran, and it looks like it could be another one. Reports that maybe Gundogan could be making that move from City to Arsenal. How hard would you push if you're Mikel Arteta to get this done?
I would push it. I think he's been an outstanding player for City. I even loved him at Dortmund, played against him a few times there, and I always could tell that he, you know, he has phenomenal ability. Top player. It does leave a little sour taste that we just keep, you know, stealing players from City to make Arsenal stronger. I feel that that's a little bit, I don't know how to explain it. There's a little bit of it that doesn't sit right with me, but you can't deny the quality of this guy. You just can't. So you have to do it. If you want to be the best, you have to get the best players.
What do you think, Stevie?
I'm a little bit with Kieran. It doesn't really... I was trying to figure out, why would Gundogan leave Manchester City?
Well, his contract, isn't it? Apparently, he's only been offered a year for City. Arsenal willing to offer him longer.
Why don't you take the year?
Well, get older then. Who knows what will happen?
Listen, Gundogan can go back to Germany anytime he wants.
Now, he's linked to Barcelona as well.
Well, that would make more sense than going to Arsenal, to be honest.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Why?
Well, because you're leaving the best team to go to a team that you know is inferior, but you're going to play against them in the same league. If you're going to cut the ties, I would go somewhere else.
Right.
I would either go back to Germany or go to Barcelona or a club of that ilk. So the only thing that I'm good with it is that I think he's a better player than Xhaka. And if you can replace what you've got with better, then that's right. The way forward.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I think it's OK.
All indications isn't that Shaka's going to be leaving in the summer. Not you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason I think it's a good move for Arsenal. I just feel from a Gundogan point of view, I don't kind of understand it.
What do you think, Shaq?
Listen, I understand he's got options in Spain and Germany. Yes, he could always go back to Germany. If you're linked with Barcelona, I think there's an attraction there, regardless of what's happening at City, whether you're out of contract or not. But that aside, I have absolutely no issue with Gundogan, or if I'm Gundogan, and Arsenal are prepared to offer me the terms that I want, leaving City to go to Arsenal. I think comes to the stage in everybody's career where you have to make that decision that's just slightly more long-term to give you that security. Also, a system and a coach that you know, and I think in a team that he would thrive in. I have no problem with that at all.
We'll see. Thank you much, Kieran. Kieran, back for extra time to answer your questions, including, did Arsenal bottle it? No. be sure to check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Real Madrid beat Rayo Vallecano by 2-1 on Wednesday. A controversial opener, though, for the hosts. A drop ball was uncontested after a Rayo player got injured. Toni Kroos then carried on playing, played into Benzema, who would eventually score to make it 1-0. The visitors would equalise in the 84th minute. Raúl de Tomás with the goal, but then a lovely individual goal from Rodrigo would see Real Madrid win by 2-1. Alex Kirkland is with us from Spain. Alex, you were at the game. As you were saying during the halftime, it's difficult to see exactly what was going on in that drop ball situation. I imagine that is one of the big talking points, certainly from what happened on the pitch in this tie.
Yes, as we were saying, what was on the pitch was really overshadowed by what happened off it. But in terms of the on-field incidents, that's certainly one of the talking points. Rayo not happy. Questions, I guess, about sportsmanship and whether Madrid should have done what they did. Other people might say that Madrid was simply being smart, and Toni Kroos, who is one of the smartest footballers around, was simply being clever and taking advantage of the situation and seeing if he could get away with it. And yes, maybe Rayo were a little bit sleepy and didn't react quickly enough.
We've just lost Alex there.
On the pitch.
Stevie, I'm surprised, Stevie, how fair you're being about this.
Well, because it's not a secret that it's a free ball to Real Madrid.
But then you're expecting them just to kick it back to you.
Well, no, you're not, because it's their ball. It's a drop ball for them. It's their ball. They were in control of the ball. So it's the rule that has to be changed.
Well, there's no rule, is it? There's never going to be a rule. It's all down to sportsmanship.
I'm sorry. Well, you don't make it about sportsmanship.
But Toni Kroos should give that ball back, shouldn't he, to a Rayo player? No.
No, they had the ball. It was their ball.
From the set piece, the ball falls to Real Madrid, and they're in comfortable control when they notice the Rayo player down. My only kind of why I'm in a little bit of uncertainty about this is, more times than not, even though that's exactly where Real had the ball when play was stopped. More times than not, you don't have to go all the way back to Courtois, but you go back a little bit and then start. But it was Real Madrid's ball. It was theirs to keep. Right. They were in comfortable possession. Nobody from Rayo anywhere around. A Rayo player goes down to get treatment. So in the one sense, you can very easily make the argument for Real to continue as they have. I just feel that more times than not, you would move the ball back voluntarily by playing at 10 or 20 yards and then build from there.
As Alex mentioned, though, really what was on the pitch, it was all about Vinicius Jr. off the pitch and what's been going on over the last few days. Remember when we went live on Sunday as this was all breaking, we were shocked. Xhaka described it as tone deaf. The Tebas reaction, who is, of course, La Liga president, almost getting into a fight with Vinicius Jr. Before you criticise and insult La Liga, you need to inform yourself well, Vinny Jr. Don't let yourself be manipulated. Of course, so much backlash at that Twitter exchange. On Wednesday, he went one step to try and put things right. He said, "I think the message and the intention I had was not understood by a significant number of people, especially in Brazil. I did not want to attack Vinicius, but if most people understood it that way, I need to apologize. It was not my intention. I expressed myself badly at a bad time." He then continued, this is with Globo, the Brazilian broadcaster. "Are there racist insults directed at Vinicius? No doubt. The president of La Liga is aware. We found them many years ago, and I will do the same now. In defense of Vinicius and the players in Spain or anyone else who faces racism, it has always been my conduct and always will be. I'm not going to change. I apologize if you misinterpreted the tweet. It wasn't my intention." Alex is with us. Alex, what's interesting about this is that this is Tebas, who we know is bullish and we know is very strong in his opinions, but we don't see very often Tebas coming out and apologising, even in this horrible manner. He's had to backtrack, hasn't he, for the reputation of not only himself, but La Liga.
Yeah, I think there's been a recognition that the tone of those tweets was wrong, that the focus and the emphasis of those tweets were wrong, because it was almost making out Vinicius to be, I don't know, somehow a part of the problem here and not the victim, which is exactly what he is. So I think there's been a recognition there, whether it's Tebas himself, whether it's the people around Tebas who've had a word with him and said, look, you need to apologise for this. You know, this looked really, really poor, and it added to what was already a disastrous image for La Liga of racism, these racist incidents happening time and time again, and it not being dealt with. It made a bad situation, an awful situation, even worse, I think. And so there's been a recognition of that, that, like I say, Tebas was wrong in terms of his tone, was wrong in terms of his focus. And this really, I think, has been about kind of cleaning up the mess that he made, these interviews that he's given today, including to our colleagues at ESPN Brazil. So it's welcome. We're going to hear more from Tebas as well over the course of the week. He's holding a press conference tomorrow here in Madrid, that he'll be, I think, saying more of the same and really trying to change the focus away from some things that he said on Twitter that he probably shouldn't have said, or at least how he said them. And instead, in terms of the more positive side of what has happened in the last couple of days, which is the arrests that have been made, the punishment that's been handed out to Valencia as well, because those are the really concrete steps that have been taken over the last couple of days that I think are what Vinicius Jr. wanted to see. You know, what we saw today at the Bernabeu was great and important in terms of showing support for Vinicius Jr. But I think what's really important, like I say, is those arrests and that quite severe punishment that we've seen for Valencia, which is what Vinicius has been asking for.
Thank goodness I'm off tomorrow. Because you know Tebas is going to say something ridiculous in his press conference.
You mean more ridiculous than Sunday, and then even more ridiculous than that half-baked apology? Listen, the more I see this Tebas apology, the worse it gets. First of all, and just to be a little bit flippant about it, as Sid was saying yesterday, it's never good when the La Liga president is referring to himself as the La Liga president. You don't speak about yourself in the third party. That's just for starters. Second of all, it's never good when your apology is, I'm sorry people misinterpreted me. People misinterpreted you because you said nonsense. And to that point, I don't think anybody misinterpreted you at all. Everybody heard exactly what you were trying to say all along. And then this, people misinterpreted me, especially people in Brazil. No, everybody with two brain cells that rubbed together heard what you were trying to say and lash out against you. It's not about a misinterpretation. It's not about a misinterpretation by a certain sector of people. It's about you making a really poor statement at the worst possible time and finding and getting the retribution for it. Apologize for that. Just say, I was wrong. I got this totally wrong. Don't try to put this on anybody else. All that being said, and as critical as I am of Tebas and that apology, it is so much better than everything we've seen from Spanish football.
Yeah.
So
the bar was low.
The bar was very low. So while it was awful, it is so much better than everything that preceded it. So at least there's some movement in the right direction.
Go on, Steve, what do you want to say?
I'm just trying to figure out, how does somebody like Tebas, being the president of La Liga, how does he get away with just spouting all this nonsense time after time?
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem as though there's any repercussions against him and the position that he's in. How does he get away with this all the time?
Well, I think he's definitely running out of time, for sure, given what we've seen. I want to welcome Kieran Gibbs into the conversation. Kieran, given what we've seen, not this weekend, but of course over the last few seasons in Spain, if you were still playing, would that sort of behaviour from the fans be off-putting in your decision to move to Spain?
Good question. I think, obviously all of the players are going to be aware, right? Everyone probably in the world has seen that in the world football. I think if I was a player that was linked to a club in Spain, I don't think it would have influenced my decision to go to the league. I think it would affect my decision to go to the club, though. I don't think that putting myself in that position would. I think that would be a step too far for me. But everyone's different, you know. And you know, you have players linked like Mbappe, Bellingham, and these guys are so loved all over the world, and they have the ability to change the opinions of the ignorant because they're that special. So I think everyone's different. I wouldn't be linked, if I was linked to go to Valencia, I think that would be a tough decision.
I think it would. I think if it were a choice between going to a Spanish club, and let's not even say all things equal, between going to a Spanish club and going to an English club, let's say the money, I'm going to make a little bit more money in Spain, but not significantly so. And we're talking about clubs outside of Real Madrid and Barcelona that have their own appeal regardless. But Valencia, we're talking about Valencia here. Let's say I am linked with Valencia and it's a choice between Valencia and I'll use West Ham. Mm-hmm. And I'm only going to make 10, maybe 15% less at West Ham. I go to West Ham. I as a black player, I go to West Ham. And while we're discussing this, and we're discussing Vinicius Jr. and his standing in Spanish football and in world football, and we're talking Brazil. Brazil are the largest exporters of footballers in the world. So now if, as you go to Brazil searching out talent, if there's any kind of parity between Spanish clubs and clubs from some other country interested in one of those talents, I think that there's a real decision to be made. It's not that straightforward.
It's not just a player's point of view. The family.
Yeah.
Are you going to take your wife and kids to a game and sit and listen to that? So that has to come into it as well, big time.
And we've discussed this, Alex, how brave this was for Vinicius to stand up against the racists and obviously bring all this attention towards him. But is this a moment now in which La Liga has to wake up for the sake of the success of the league in the future if you're going to attract your big names like your Bellinghams or your Mbappes? Because if you don't, people aren't going to be watching anymore.
Well, this is what La Liga have to avoid at all costs, I think, is this discussion that we are having, which is essentially in the minds of people linking La Liga and racism. It couldn't be more damaging for La Liga as a brand as they look to grow globally. They need to do whatever it takes to change that perception. If that perception continues to grow in people's minds, I can't think of anything more damaging for La Liga globally. And it does make you wonder how much of a role it would play in the minds of players who might be thinking about coming to La Liga. You mentioned Jude Bellingham. He's been, you know, linked to Real Madrid. He's been linked to Manchester City. He's weighing up that decision pretty much as we speak. Well, how much would issues like this come to play? And I just think it's so, so damaging for La Liga and for La Liga clubs. I think they're aware of that. I think they've seen that from the scale of the global outcry here, and they need to show everybody that they're taking this seriously, that they are doing everything that they can to deal with it. Because if not, for players, for fans, for sponsors, for brands, for everybody, the league is going to have this association with racism, which, like I say, just couldn't be more toxic for them as a brand, and couldn't make it more difficult for them to continue to grow and compete with the Premier League.
This is maybe a better question for Alec. At what point would the government get involved in this? Because, yes, we're talking about La Liga, we're talking about football, but eventually, as a country, it comes into question, right? So when does the government start getting involved, Alec?
They have spoken about it this week. The Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, came out and spoke about it and condemned what had happened at Valencia. We are in the middle, actually, of campaigning for local elections right now, so it's a time when there's a lot of politics out there and in the media, and people have been talking about this. And the government has its role through the sports ministry, which of course is one of the bodies that sort of supervises and governs Spanish football. You've got the sports ministry and you've got the federation and you've got La Liga. But it's important it goes all the way to the very top, because I mean, I talk about kind of the image and the brand of La Liga. It's beyond that, isn't it? It's about the image and the brand of Spain as a country. Mm-hmm. People are talking about Spanish football. Vinicius Jr. said in one of his Instagram statements the other day that Spain in Brazil is now viewed as a racist country. He said that there's this perception that Spain is racist. So like I say, you're right, this goes far beyond football. This is about the image of a country kind of on the world stage. That's where we've got to. And that's something that I think that concerns and affects absolutely everybody here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Espanyol fighting for their lives against Atletico Madrid. In the end, it would finish 3-3. What a game this turned out to be. Saúl open the scoring for the visitors. And then a controversial goal for Atleti. There is no goal line technology in Spain, so it was all down to the VAR cameras. And they had judged the ball across the line. They seem to be the only people who had judged the ball across the line. 2-0 to Atleti. They would make it 3-0 soon into the second half. Carrasco with the goal. But a great comeback from Espanyol would see them clinch a point as it finishes 3 apiece. Alex is still with us, and Alex, the inevitable question that everyone is going to ask after seeing that highlight is, why don't Spain have goal line technology?
You feel a bit for the officials, don't you? You feel a bit for the officials who are having to take these decisions, and they don't have the tools to be able to do it properly. They are essentially guessing. In the same way that we are looking at those images and guessing whether the ball's crossed the line or not, the officials in the VAR room are doing exactly the same thing because they do not have access to goal line technology, because here in Spain, all these years later, we do not have goal line technology. It's never been implemented. La Liga have said that it's too expensive, and they say that it's not necessary. They say that, you know, in 99.9% of cases, it's not an issue. And with the VAR cameras, they can tell if the ball has crossed the line or not. Well, in this case, perfect example, you can't tell. You can look at it all day and you cannot tell with absolute certainty whether the ball has crossed the line or not. And that's why I say I feel a bit sorry for the officials, because they're having to take a decision based essentially on guesswork, and they are not being provided with the tools that exist. It's out there. It's been out there for years. It's bizarre. And every time, like, it doesn't happen every week, but every now and then we get a case like this and we have the same debate and we ask the same questions and we can't get our heads around it. And the years have gone by and it still hasn't changed. And it comes down to money, and it comes down to disputes between La Liga and the Federation and FIFA about the implementation of this technology. The only tournament we've seen it used in Spain is the Spanish Supercopa, which is organised by the Federation, not by La Liga.
Here's the thing. If I'm an official in that VAR booth and I'm not 100% sure, then I can't give it. It has to be that simple. So you kind of think, well, what is going through their mind? There's no definitive image that shows that it crossed the line. Why are they so desperate to give it?
Don't know. I've no idea.
It's strange, isn't it?
It's a very sensible, lethargic, honest thing to think, which is exactly what every single football player on a field would expect from an official, whether it's a linesman and the old offside nonsense, or whether it's, in this case, did the ball cross the line or not.
Yeah.
There's not a person alive right now who could actually turn around with any certainty and tell you that it's a goal. And in that position, every footballer expects the officials to not give a goal. Unless you're 100% sure it happened, you can't give it. Dead easy, as you said. Unfortunately, not for everybody.
And it could quite literally cost Espanyol survival.
Yeah, to Alex's point, it's too expensive for the league. I wonder how much it would cost Espanyol. Should Espanyol get relegated by a point, for argument's sake, given that they were denied two, let's assume here. How expensive is that to Espanyol? I don't get it. And okay, while you don't want to take on those costs of goal light technology, to your point, Dan, for you to use VAR and give the goal in a very close situation, you have to be 100% certain. The more I see this, the more I'm convinced that it is. I'm 100% convinced that the ball did not cross the line. So nobody sitting in a VAR booth can tell me that they were 100% certain that it did.
It's been a long day for you, Alex, I know. Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Joining us late at night from Spain. Just a reminder, plenty more reaction for what's been going on in Spain over the last few days over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check out ESPN FC.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Oh, it's a lot of papers. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Kieran back with us, Shaka and Stevie as well to answer some of your questions. Oh, dear. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Kieran Gibbs is with us. Stevie Nicol and Shaka Hislop. Have you told Stevie the silly bet that you've had with your son?
That I can beat him in a race.
Why?
I'm going to beat him in a race.
How old is he, Shaq?
He's 15. He'll be 16 next month.
No chance.
No chance.
I'll beat him.
Give him the money and then he'll look bad.
Got a couple of years. All right.
No.
Maybe next year. Not this year.
What's going to be at stake, Shaq? And can we get some action on him, please? Beating you.
I can't remember what the bet was, you know.
What sort of length are we talking?
About 60 metres, that's about.
Yes, it's true.
I need it long enough so that, because it takes a little while for the turbos to kick in, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I need it, maybe about 60, 70 metres is about right.
You got no chance.
The turbos run on kind of quick, so I can't go any further.
Make sure somebody films this, Shaq.
Don't you worry.
Yeah.
Get an ambulance ready.
No, I'm ready. No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You want to bet?
Absolutely, I love it.
Yeah.
I might drive up tomorrow.
Have you guys seen the kind of force and momentum that an incident of racism has seen in Vinicius Jr.'s case? And is this a welcome sign? Tebas is apologising, red card rescinded, Footballing World United, Shaq?
Yeah, listen, first of all, to the first part of the question, I have not seen a reaction anything like it. I think that speaks to the issue and how big the issue has been in Spain, how it's been ignored. It speaks to how big a star Vinicius Jr. is and the job that he's done just in confronting the issue at every single opportunity that he has. This is a welcome sign in Spanish football, in world football. The challenge now for all of us who are determined to see an end to racism, not just in the game, but in society, is to maintain that energy. To keep everything that we've seen over the last couple of days and make it long-term as opposed to a weekend, an incident, to end a season.
Lots of questions as well with Kieran being on about Arsenal, Kieran. What do they do with their left-back situation? Do they sell Tierney? Is Zinchenko good enough defensively to start their next season?
I think the way that Mikel wants to play, I think that may not suit Kieran as much as it does Zinchenko. So I think that kind of answers the question in that respect. And then obviously you're going to need to go and get someone else in. But, you know, it's tough to just be able to go and find another Zinchenko that can basically play in midfield and is that versatile and fits that style. So I wouldn't want to see Kieran go because I think that he has the capability of, you know, performing at a high level in his position. So I think Zinchenko is good enough defensively, but he shouldn't have to do that much if Arsenal are that good. It's the same conversation with Trent, right? Mm. It's like, is the problem with Trent when he was winning the Prem, the Champions League and what else in the FA Cup? It wasn't highlighted because they were that good. So if anything, that shows that there's other areas of the pitch that need improving. I think Zinchenko is good enough.
Kieran, I'm willing to bet a lot of money that you had absolutely no input in those plants behind you being in your house.
They're not even real, Dad.
He said, what plants?
They're not even real.
Shouldn't you have some memorabilia or something? Some of your winner's medals and all that stuff behind you instead of some fake
plants? I'm sending it over from the UK. It's in the process. I'm gonna spruce it up a little bit. Don't worry.
Yeah, need some sprucing, mate. A couple of cheap plants isn't going to do much, is it? For Stevie, playing matches after winning a league kind of feels like training. What motivates a player to play these consolation matches?
If you're trying to stake a claim for the following season,
yep.
Then yeah. But after that, it's very difficult.
Yeah, it must be weird, yeah.
It's very strange, very hard. Yeah. Yeah, for the guys that have played all season and who've won the... who've had experience of it, it's very difficult. It's completely different if you're in a City situation though when you've got a cup final coming
right, okay,
up.
That keeps that...
Because you're like, well, I want to keep my place here, but... When it's done and dusted and you've still got like 3 and 4 games to go, yeah, it's a strange position.
Stevie, this is right up your alley. What's your favourite team activity from your playing days, whether going to the pub or driving around in your supercars together?
Do you know what? Pre-season was always good.
No, but weren't you in the darts team?
Ah.
And the pool team?
With the football?
Yes.
Oh. I'd probably say the pool league. The pool league was good.
You liked it?
Aye.
I played Stevie at pool. He got very angry, Shaq.
He's just super competitive.
He is super competitive. Yeah. And then he got angry at himself for being so competitive.
He's competitive about being competitive.
What about you? You were driving around in your fancy car, Shaq?
I didn't just drive around my fancy car, Dad. Just because I didn't play in anybody's pool team. Nobody invited me to play pool. Why do you think that's all I could do?
What did you do?
Drive around my fancy car.
Kieran, what was the fanciest car you had?
I've never been a car person. Yeah. I know loads of players that have had their car days, but speaking of cars, it reminds me of the first season that I went to West Brom and Alan Pardew took us on a mid-season break to Barcelona. And, you know, he gave us the reins to go out one night and the boys ended up stealing a taxi in Barcelona and driving it around for about 3 hours.
That made headlines, didn't it, Kieran?
That did.
Who was involved in that? Was it Gareth Barry?
It was Gareth Barry.
Yeah.
It was Boaz Myhill.
So when you say steal, right?
Yeah.
So was it parked up with keys in it or something, and you just thought we'll go for a ride here, or?
No, they were actually in the taxi, and then they went to get some food on the way home, and they made the taxi man get out of the car so that they could basically steal it. They made him go and get the food. They made him go and get the food and
so pretend
they didn't speak any Spanish.
It is trouble that, right? As awful as it is, you could see footballers going, you know what would be really fun here? Let's steal his taxi.
Wow. Well, I think you all need to have a word with yourselves.
I did.
What's an example?
I've changed that.
Yeah. What's an example is that? Kieran, did you do anything else, other sports, during your time at Arsenal, like Stevie and the pub pool team?
Not really. Only a bit of golf. Paintballing. Paintballing was good when we used to go with the boys.
Yeah. Yeah, Craig likes really paintballing as well.
I've never been paintballing.
Why didn't you get to shoot him?
Look at who else is on the team. He's the only one who's getting that.
I've never been
even if he's on your own team. I think it would hurt, wouldn't it?
It doesn't.
He's still on your team. He's got that. Oh, sorry.
I need to see Shaka and Stevie paintballing against each other. I'd love to go paintballing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I've never paintballed.
I've never been.
No. Stevie, I was under the impression a shepherd's pie had to be lamb mince and potato, but I've heard you mention beef mince and potato.
Absolutely.
Not sure I've ever seen a shepherd herd a bunch of cows. So isn't it supposed to be cottage pie with meat?
Somewhere down the historical line, there was something to do with lamb's meat, as you said.
Yes.
But then it kind of evolved.
Did you just evolve it, though?
I think it's a Scottish thing.
Oh, yeah? Well, so when I think, what about cottage pie? What's the difference between cottage pie and shepherd's pie?
I don't know.
It's good TV, isn't it?
I've no idea.
I think cottage is the meat.
Well, cottage pie is the one with the...
It's the beef one. And then shepherd's pie is the lamb one.
No, not where I come from.
Okay, all right. We know... Well, no, we've done that one. And we know Stevie has shepherd's pie, but Shaka, Kieran and Dan, what's the one food that you could eat every day?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, here you go. No. Kieran, what are you eating every day?
Chick-fil-A.
Wow.
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yes. I've got a bad guilty pleasure with Chick-fil-A. Bad one.
Spicy chicken deluxe?
No. I'm simple, Dan. I'm plain.
I love a spicy chicken deluxe.
It doesn't need it.
No, I need a little bit of kick, man. I'm spicy. You know, you look at me, just like a bit extra spicy.
Oh, good luck. Talking to Dad earlier, he's getting ready to order his lunch. So they put some jalapenos on it, give it a little kick. He's like, no. I can't go any more than pepper jack cheese.
Jalapenos. Where's jalapenos on their burgers?
You can't have jalapenos in your burger.
No, I don't think so. No, it's unnecessary.
Ooh, to you.
Unnecessary.
To answer the question, roti. We've had this discussion before.
Oh, yeah, just remind us what it is.
So, roti is how we serve, or one of the ways we serve, our curry in Trinidad. It's wrapped in, so the roti skin, as it's called, is almost like a thin bread. But we wrap our curry in this roti skin, this thin bread, and it is magic. Mm. I'll eat that all day, every day.
What is it, Stevie?
What?
The roti, what is it?
What is it?
Yeah.
What, curry and bread?
You just make it sound all wrong.
You just said it's curry and bread.
It's curry and bread. That's not, no.
That's what he said, will it?
It just felt wrong. Just felt wrong.
Set your head in. Chip shop chips I could have every day.
Aye.
Proper chip shop chip. Proper fantastic.
Chip. Hold on. Italian chip shop or Chinese chip shop?
I don't know.
In Scotland, we grew up with Italian chip shops.
Okay.
And the chips were fantastic.
Okay.
The Chinese chips are completely different.
Right, okay. In Cornwall, we just had chip shop.
Yeah, but from what nationality?
England.
There was only one. There's only one.
The chip shop, isn't there?
There's only one chip shop in all of Cornwall. From Cornwall.
Doesn't count.
Cornwall chips.
It doesn't count. What do you mean it doesn't count?
Well, it's not Italian chips or the Chinese chips. The English chips. Give us a break. Nobody's ever heard of that in their life.
What do you mean it's this thing that you think of in England? Nonsense. Fish and chips.
Well, you got the Indian, you got the Chinese.
How many fish and chip shops have you seen in Italy?
I've never been in my life in a chip shop and it's an English chip shop. Never.
So the Italians came over and introduced fish and chips to England?
Well, unfortunately for you, no, they didn't.
No, I have heard of Chinese chip shops.
This is when I was in Scotland.
This is crazy.
All the chip shops when I was in Scotland were all
okay.
All right. Italian.
But I'm telling you, when I grew up, they were English chip shops.
Well, you missed it.
Well, you should have grown up in Scotland then.
Since we're heading into the summer break, were there any regulations or rules against certain summer activities the clubs you played for that forbid you doing anything? Did you ever get a non-football injury during summer? Like Manuel Neuer, of course, hurt himself skin. What are you laughing at?
Don't learn to fly.
You weren't allowed to fly.
Yeah, I was going to do a pilot's license.
Yes.
So my wife bought me a flying lesson, which I did.
Has he fallen out or something?
Just sign this life insurance policy before you go, Jack.
I loved it, and I was like, I'm going to do this, you know. So as well, the PFA pay for you to do stuff to prepare for retirement.
Oh.
So I was like, listen, so it's the first step to being a commercial pilot.
Captain
so I just
Shanker.
Said, listen, I want to be a commercial pilot. So like, all right, we'll pay for your lessons. So I signed up. Next thing, somebody's gone and said it on Soccer AM. Somebody called in on Soccer AM. It's like, oh, Shaka's going to do a pilot's license. And Glenn Roeder, who's the West Ham manager at the time, he called me, he's like, what's this I'm hearing? And I'm like, no. My wife just bought me one lesson. So I had to call up the airfield and kick up a stink. I got my money back.
Wow.
So if you're a footballer, don't think about becoming a pilot.
Wow. Kieran?
Nah, it just weren't worth it. It just weren't worth it because then you put yourself at risk. So,
right.
But I am gonna start to go back to skiing now because I did go when I was a kid and I loved it.
Oh, there you go. Lots of ski slopes in Miami, yeah?
Yeah. Perfect.
Do you want to tell the John Barnes story?
On the race course?
Yeah.
Oh, when he just... After the Grand National.
Yeah, so the Grand National's a massive
race
in England.
Yeah, it's huge. And we always played...
Because it's
If we were at home, obviously the Grand National was in Liverpool itself.
Yep.
So if we actually had been drawn at home that week, that day, that Saturday, we'd play the game early. So we'd kick off at 11 o'clock in the morning. So, of course, we always went, all the boys and all the wives, we always piled into a couple of buses, got into the tents and the whole thing, right by the finishing line, VIP day. It was fantastic. It was great, fantastic. So after it was finished, on the way back to the buses, we had to go across the course. And for some reason, Alan Hansen and Alan and John Barnes decided to have a race between two of the fences. And halfway between fence three and fence four, Barnes did his hamstring. And so, if you get hurt on a Saturday, you have to go on a Sunday.
Right.
Otherwise, you're in deep.
Okay.
You're running around.
Right.
If you've got a little nick or anything at all, you've got to go in. So Barnes is like, well, I can't go in. What am I going to do? I can't tell them I was running a Grand National. So he didn't go in on a Sunday. He went in on the Monday.
Right.
Just stayed out the road, and then we did the warm-up. Stayed kind of out the road a wee bit. And then when we started playing five-a-sides, after about a minute, he went, oh, I can feel something. And as he's walking off, Ronnie Moran's walked up to him and went, I don't know what it is, but you know you've been up to something. He was like, not at all. Not at all.
You could have given him quite a few guesses, and I don't think he'd ever gone running the Grand National race. Okay, final question. I need to get a new soccer ball. What is the difference between the balls now compared to your playing time?
Oh, where do you want me to start? Where do you want me to start? Well, put it this way. You would never, ever in my day see the fullback whipping the ball from one half of the field over to the other half of the field.
Just because they got stronger legs.
You couldn't kick the thing that far. And the only time we ever played with a decent ball was actually at Anfield.
Right.
Because everywhere we went, they would use a crap ball so we couldn't knock it around.
Because obviously each club had their own ball. It wasn't like a Premier League ball.
Correct. So back in the 80s particularly, there was no set ball.
Right.
So, you know, you go to Wimbledon, for example, and they'd have a cabbage. So you couldn't kick it. I mean, just that blatant.
And what was it like when they got wet? They must have got hit. Did they get heavier?
Oh, seriously. Let me tell you. People don't believe me when I tell them this. We played in 1992 in the FA Cup final. We played with a mitre ball, right?
Yes.
and the field was so... I mean, you see them today, every time you look at it, they're water in the field, right?
Yes, yeah.
In 92, the ball, the mitre ball, was picking up the water. You couldn't kick it. By the end of the game, you couldn't kick the ball.
Right.
It was that heavy. And that was 1992. It was a joke.
Yeah.
So today when I watch all these players hitting the ball 60 yards, pinging the ball 60 yards across from one fullback to the other, I'm like, yeah, good luck with that. No chance.
Yeah, Kieran, you and your nice new balls.
Excuse me?
You just couldn't do it.
Have they changed much from when you were young, Kieran? Did you see quite a development in the balls?
They're lighter now. They're even lighter. Yeah, and they fly. We used to love playing midweek more because we felt like the Champions League balls were just better because they travelled better if you strike the ball. But now the Prem balls are just as good. They're just as good.
Can I just add, seeing MLS, particularly when you go to altitude, the movement on the balls is horrendous.
Right.
Horrendous. A basic ball that's more than 10, 15 yards. Kieran will probably attest to this. So you go to Colorado and the ball, you're just playing it 20, 25 yards, but you've got to lift it.
Right.
These balls are flying all over the shop.
Yeah.
Honest to God. And the goalkeepers must have an absolute nightmare.
I played at the Azteca later on in Madrid, the bigger career.
Yes.
I could launch the ball lengthy pitch. So, try to be able to play in Mexico.
Sounds like a child.
Oh, it was so much fun. We played in Mexico. It's unlikely we're going to win.
Right, so you just spent the whole time.
Every time I've got the ball, I'm just like, push up everybody, just push. And I would just launch it like to the pitch. It was so much fun. Yes. That's all I have to contribute.
Thank you very much, Shaka. As worthy as always. ESPN FC, we've done that show for a very long day.
It's been a long day. Testament to your mess.
But yes, watching football.
Sorry?
All you've done is watch football.
I've got to drive the boat, the ship, all this.
Yeah. And I'm.
You must be exhausted.
And I'm just hanging off the back like an anchor.
You must be shattered, the two of you.
he's driving the ship, I'm weighing him down.
That was anchor. We will be back tomorrow for more. Thank you very much.
What could it be?
I'll be back tomorrow.
Goodness me.
Till then, goodbye.